Okay, now, boys and girls, people who know me know that I'm a very forgetful, that's the one, forgetful person. I forget things really, really easily. So as we think about the stories of past week, if I forget something or get something a little bit wrong, then you need to tell me. Can you do that for me? Yeah, you sure? Brilliant. Okay, now, we're looking at the stories of Jesus. And I want to just read you just a little bit from the Bible, because this was the first thing we looked at on Tuesday. And it's Jesus speaking, and he says this: "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who put his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Now, our theme this past week at Holiday Bible Club has been the stories that Jesus told. Jesus told brilliant, fantastic stories. He's told stories about farmers and builders and kings and tax collectors and just soldiers, different people mentioned in the stories of Jesus. But he told these stories so that we might know something about God. And all I want to do this morning is just take you through the four stories of Jesus that we looked at this past week, and just to understand what they mean for us today. So we've just read it, and the first one was the wise and the foolish builders. There were these two builders, and what they're going to do, they're going to build some houses. The wise man was going to build a house for himself, and the foolish man was going to build a house for himself as well. Now, the wise man built his house on sand, and the foolish man... What? What? Are you sure?
Yes.
Sorry, I do apologise. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the foolish man built his house upon what was it?
Sand.
Sand. Okay, sand. So the wise man, why did he build his house on rock? Well, we talked about, certainly in my talk with the older ones, that to be wise is about being able to make good choices rather than bad ones. And so the wise builder, he makes a good choice of where he's going to build his house, because rock is what? It's strong, isn't it? It's firm. So when a storm comes in, it will not fall over. And the foolish builder, well, he made a bad choice because he built his house on sand. And how many of you have built a sandcastle here? Anyone built a sandcastle? Yeah? How long did your sandcastle last when the waves came in and the water came in? Did it last very long? Not long at all, did it? Because sand is soft and water can easily wash it away. And so, yeah, and you as well, absolutely. And when the storm came in and the sand was washed away, the house collapses. And Jesus said, well, this isn't a story about advice for builders. This is about life. And Jesus said, the wise man, the man who makes the good choice, is the one who hears my words and... this is the important bit, puts them into practice. And the foolish builder is like the person who hears the words of Jesus, but then doesn't put them into practice. So it's a great thing to hear what Jesus has to say. But the difference between making the good choice and the bad choice is, do we listen and then we do something about it? That's the big question. And that's where we kind of started on our first day of Holiday Bible Club. Because as we were going to be teaching our children about the words of Jesus, we wanted them to understand that they have a choice. The good choice or the bad choice. Are they going to listen to what Jesus has to say, or are they going to say, no, thank you? It is wise to listen to the words of Jesus and to put them into practice. And that was basically what we did on day one. On day two, Jesus told a story about a lost sheep. Now, in the story of the lost sheep, what happened was this. A farmer had 100 sheep, but he lost 99 of the sheep. So he kept... Now what? Whoa, 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 whoa. Well, slow down. Yeah, sorry. One what? He lost one sheep. So what about the other 99? And he went to find the one sheep. Gotcha. I'm with you now. Maths was never my strong point. Okay, that's my problem. Okay, so 100 sheep, and he left 99 behind.
No.
Yes, and he left 99. No, wait. Okay, don't confuse me. Don't confuse me now. Stop it. He left the 99 behind, and he went off to find the one sheep that was lost. I don't know if you can see. Can you see the sheep there? There's a sheep right in the middle of that picture, and he's looking a little bit lost, and you probably can't see it very well. I'm sure the shepherd went on to find him afterwards. Oh, that's better. There you go. There, right in the middle. A lost sheep. And this one sheep had wandered off and had wandered away from the shepherd. And so he left the 99 sheep and he went to find this one sheep that was lost. And he went and he found it and he brought it back again to the 99. And again, this isn't Jesus saying, now here's some advice for you shepherds. If you lose one sheep, go and find it. Jesus, in his stories, teaches us about God. And Jesus is saying to us that God is like that shepherd. That when there is this one sheep that runs away, that wanders off, that leaves the safety and the security and the protection of being part of that flock with the shepherd and the other 99, that the shepherd will go and he will look and he will search no matter what to find the lost sheep. And that is what God does for us. When we have wandered away from him, when we have gone our own way and we have tried to leave God behind, God then doesn't turn around and say, well, that's it, I'm not interested in you anymore. I've got all these people over here. Well, thank you very much, goodbye, I'm not going to see you again. What God does is he seeks us out. He searches for us. Why? Because as the shepherd loves his sheep, so even more so does God love us. And the thing is, as we're going to see in a few moments' time, is actually, we've all done that. We've all wandered away from God. We've all got lost, and we need God to come and seek us out and find us. That was our memory verse. Okay, so now I'm going to attempt to say the memory verse, which could go horribly wrong. Okay, but the Son of Man, you need to listen actually if I get it right, the Son of Man came to find lost people and save them. Was that right? I didn't do the verse at the beginning, Luke 19, verse 10, just the record. Okay, but that was the verse, wasn't it? The Son of Man came to do what? To find lost people and save them. That's why Jesus came, to find those who were lost, because he loves us so much. And if you're someone here this morning, and you know in a sense that you are lost, that you've wandered away from God, God has not given up on you. In the same way that the shepherd did not give up on the sheep, God has not given up on you. And you may think to yourself, I've wandered so far away. I'm so far away from God. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You can never wander too far that God can't find you and bring you back. And that's wonderful news, because that is how much God loves us. Now, we then had a story about a Pharisee and a tax collector. And these two men, they went into the temple to pray. Now, the tax collector prayed basically about himself, and the Pharisee prayed and said, I'm really, really sorry for...
No.
What?
The tax collector said he was sorry, and the Pharisee said he was going to...
Brilliant. Okay, I'm not going to say anything else now. You've summed that up perfectly. You're quite right. I got it mixed up again, didn't I? There's a Pharisee. Now, let me tell you, if we had a Pharisee come to Holiday Bible Club, which we're not planning on doing any time in the near future. But if we had a Pharisee come, and they were able to join in, and then we gave him a pack with the blobs, do you know, he would probably have a pack that was totally covered in blobs. In fact, you would not be able to see the pack for the number of blobs the Pharisee would have on. Because, memory verse, he remembered loads and loads of bits of the Bible. And quiz time, he better answer all the questions. Because Pharisees were really religious people. But the problem with the Pharisee was that he thought that all his religion, all the things he was doing, would make him right before God. And so he prayed to God and he said, God, I thank you that I'm not like these other people over here, looking down on them, looking down the tax collector next to him. Oh, I thank you I'm not like him. I'm so much better. Because he thought that his religion would get him right before God. But he was wrong. And the tax collector, we're told, when he prays, he couldn't even look up to heaven. He couldn't even raise his eyes as he talked to God. And all he could say was, I'm sorry, I've sinned against you. And you see, Jesus asked the question at the end when he told the story and said, which one of these two people do you think left the temple right in the eyes of God? You know, which one of those two prayers was God pleased with? And the answer most people would expect would be, well, surely it must be the Pharisee. Such a religious leader. No, absolutely. Such a religious leader. It must be the Pharisee. But no, it's not the Pharisee. Because he was relying in the things that he did to get him right before God. Whereas the tax collector, who was a very, very unpopular person in the first century, as I guess they kind of are now. No one works in any revenue here, do they? Okay. But in the first century, even more unpopular because they're working for the Romans, who were occupying the country. Very, very unpopular. Yet this man, that everyone else would have kind of looked down on, is right before God because he comes to God and he confesses the fact that he has wandered away, he has done his own thing, he's done things he shouldn't have done, and he comes and he confesses the fact before God. And so Jesus says, this is the person, actually, who goes out right in the eyes of God because they've owned up to who they are, they've been honest before God and said, yeah, this is what I've done. And that is what God wants us to do. Religion gets us nowhere. The Pharisee's religion and all the things that he did, that got him absolutely nowhere. What he should have done was to come humbly before God and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Now, on our final day, we thought about this, a wedding banquet. Okay, a wedding banquet. And it was a king, and this king, his son was getting married, and so he sends out invitations. And he sends out invitations to people. Whenever anyone got an invitation, straight away they said, yes, we're going to come. Did they?
Yes.
Well, what is it, yes or no?
No.
No, they didn't, or yes they did?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just confusing small children, it's not good, is it? Okay, so, you're quite right. They didn't, did they? There were people making really silly excuses. Can I remember one of the excuses that they gave? Can I remember an excuse? Yes. Yeah, they just bought a field. What kind of reason is that not to go to a wedding? Yeah.
They just bought some farm animals.
Yeah, some oxen, some farm animals. Brilliant. There's one more. Yes.
They just got married.
Yeah, now, okay, maybe it was the husband. He wasn't allowed out by the wife. I don't know. But even so, they weren't great excuses, were they? Now, a few months ago, this is probably faded into the memory now, but it was the royal wedding, okay, William and Kate. Now, did anyone here get an invite? No, I didn't think so. But yeah, if you had got an invitation to the royal wedding, I'm pretty sure there's anyone here who would turn it down. Now, if you had something else on that Friday, you would have rearranged it. You might have thrown a sticky at work or something. Not that I'm encouraging that. And said, I'm going to that wedding. Oh, yes, some of you guys are going, I don't care about weddings. Yeah, but if you went to the wedding, you'd be in the same room as Pippa Middleton. So that would work out quite well. So anyone, I think, would say, invitation, royal wedding, I'm there. But these people at this wedding banquet, the invitations went out, and they made some really rubbish excuses as to why they weren't going to come. So he told the king, then sent out more invitations. And he said, just go and find anyone who is willing to come to the wedding banquet. And the servants went out, and they found lots and lots of people who were willing and who were excited and who did want to come along to the wedding banquet. Well, Jesus wasn't talking just about wedding invitations. He was talking about what God does for us. That God sends out an invitation to us, not just for a banquet that's going to be sort of food and sort of nice company and sort of things like that, but actually to be with him forever and to enjoy his goodness forever. You know, it's unfortunate, I think, a lot of the time we see pictures of, you know, what heaven is meant to look like. People have ideas of sort of heaven being up there or heaven being in the clouds or people sitting on clouds. If you're ever on a plane and you fly through a cloud, you soon discover it's not very interesting. I don't think anyone would ever think, you know, if heaven is like being in a cloud, that's not a great place to go, is it? But it's great because it's not. It's about being with God and enjoying him and all the good things that he has for us. Think about all the good things he provides for us down here. Right, all the food that we have, all the beauty that we see in our world around us. Now multiply that by a huge number that I can't even think of. That's what heaven is like. And God's invitation goes out to us. And yet, people still make excuses. I'm a bit too busy. I'm not of the religious type. Well, that's great, because we don't want to be like a Pharisee, like, because he was religious. So don't be like a religious type. That's the worst thing you can be. I'm too busy. I'm not religious. I've never really thought about it. I'm too young. I'll think about it later. Excuses, excuses, excuses. But that is not how we should be. The invitation goes out, and when we think about how wonderful this amazing place with God is going to be, surely we say, I want to be there. I want to be there. I want to enjoy that forever and ever. And so the choice is, isn't it, do we accept that invitation or do we reject it? Now, Jesus told sort of two versions of this story. And there's one part of the story where there's someone at the wedding and they're not wearing wedding clothes. There's always someone like that, isn't there, actually, at a wedding, who turns up and, you know, scruffy. It's normally me. I dress up for weddings. But there's someone like that, and they're not wearing wedding clothes. Now, in the first century, you would have suits of clothing provided for you at a wedding. Brilliant, isn't it? We should so do that now, shouldn't we? That'd be brilliant. Actually, Rachel, could you... But it'd be brilliant, wouldn't it, if we could have, you know, provided for us. But here's a guy, and he had rejected what the host, the king at the banquet, had offered to him freely. He said, no, I don't want to wear the wedding clothes. And in the story, Jesus says, this guy gets chucked out. He doesn't get to be in the wedding. And the thing is this, God has provided for us everything that we need to be with him forever. Nothing that we can do, no point us trying to sort of dress ourselves up and make ourselves look good. We can't do that. God has provided everything that we need because he sent Jesus to do what? To find lost people and save them. And that's what he did on the cross. He died on the cross so that we could be forgiven for the wrong stuff that we did. That tax collector who was there on his knees couldn't even look up to heaven. Jesus Christ came and he died for people like him and people like you and people like me. And that's what we need to do. To come and confess that we mess up, we do things wrong, but that we believe that Jesus came and he died for us. So I leave then with that choice really that we started off with. Are we going to be wise or are we going to be foolish? That's what Jesus said. Jesus said the wise person is the one who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. It's like that wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock. What are you going to do with what you've heard this morning? Okay, you have heard the words of Jesus. Everyone has this morning. Are you going to do something about them or not? Are you going to be wise or are you going to be foolish? That's what Jesus said. Can't get away from it. Because when we listen to the words of Jesus and we hear that invitation, how are we going to respond? Such a wonderful thing that God would invite just ordinary people who have turned their back on him, who've wandered away from him, but he would invite us to be with him and enjoy him forever. That is a fantastic thing. And my challenge to you this morning is very, very simple. Really think about that and ask yourself the question, how am I going to respond to that invitation? Now, we're going to just finish our service now. We're going to sing one more song. And the song here is actually, it's a great testimony, really, of what it means to be a Christian. So perhaps if you're someone and you know that actually you haven't accepted that invitation yet, you might just want to kind of just sort of sit and listen as those who do know the Lord Jesus, who know that they have been rescued, know that they have been saved, as they sing this in response to what God has done for them. And you might just want to sit or stand and just listen to the words and understand what it means to be a Christian. So we're going to stand together and then we're going to sing.